The recordings have started. You may proceed.
Great. Thanks, Louise. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Working Group call on the 28th of November, 2016 at 1500 UTC. In the interest of time today, there will be no roll call as we have quite a few participants. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room. So if you're only on an audio bridge today, would you please let yourself be known now?
Excuse me, can you speak a little bit slowly? Hello?
Okay.
Please slowly. Speak
okay.
Too fast. Thank
you. Okay, thank you. All right, and as a reminder to all participants, please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn the call back over to Jeff Newman.
Thank you. And Avery Doria is on the line as well. At least I see Avery. I see you on the chat or on the list of participants. So I realize
yeah,
that Avery and I have not discussed who is chairing. So I will take the chair and then turn it over to Avery for the CC1 review, which I know she'll be happy about. First, we'll go over the agenda, as we normally do. And so we'll do normal statements of interest, then do kind of a little bit of a summary of outcomes, next steps from ICANN 57, see if there's any work track updates. I know they'll be brief as we're just getting back into having the work track calls this week. And then, as stated earlier, we will hopefully try to finish up the CC1 review between this call and the call next week. And then we'll issue a call for any other business. So first, let me just start with if there's anyone that has any other business at this point in time, you can raise your hand. Okay. Seeing none at this point in time, we will go to the statements of interest. So I know it's been several weeks since our last meeting. Has anyone had any updates to any statements of interest that they would like to declare? Okay, I am not seeing any. And if this is the first time I'm using actually my iPad for Adobe, so if anyone is raising their hand and I just can't tell, if someone could just interrupt and let me know. Okay, ICANN 57. So that was a few weeks ago in Hyderabad. Hopefully, Kavous, I'm speaking slowly. So we all met for a workshop type meeting in Hyderabad, and it was on day one, and I thought we actually made some progress on some pretty big issues. What, just as a reminder of the format, we had each of the work track leaders present one or two, in some cases a few, questions to get some public input on, and I thought we had a pretty good interactive session on a number of issues, and we certainly came out of that meeting with some action items and some additional comments. Steve, I don't know if you wanted to talk about, you had sent around, I believe, a set of notes on the meeting. Did you just want to give an update on that?
Thanks, Jeff. This is Steve from staff. I wasn't planning on sending that or discussing that. That was actually, I think, sent around by Julie Hedlund from staff, and it was put together into a Word document, if I recall. As you mentioned, it was a few weeks ago. So I don't think I was going to add anything to that.
Okay. just making sure that everyone has got a copy of those notes. I know that the recordings are available. And, Steve, do you recall if there's transcripts as well, or is it just the recordings?
So, Steve, again, I believe there's transcripts, but I'll go dig up the link and put it into the AC room so everyone can look.
Okay. So the next steps out of those discussions, each of the work tracks took extensive, or the leaders took notes on the discussions that took place and are going to be bringing up their individual track notes on their calls that are going to be, some of them are work tracks one and two are this week. In fact, work track two is going to be in a few hours, and work track one is tomorrow. This is a little bit of a change from the past where our meetings were on Tuesday and Thursday. There were some conflicts for meeting on Thursday. I believe there's some conferences going on. So we had a couple weeks ago, we had changed the work track two meeting from Thursday to today. And work tracks three and four will be next week. Are there any, Aubrey, do you want to add anything else to this?
Nope.
Okay. Are there any updates that any of the work track leaders want to provide at this point? So I'll go by work track. So, Sarah or Krista, anything you'd like to add just on track one? I know your call's tomorrow, but anything you just want to let the whole group know, just kind of a summary of what was discussed?
Hi, Jeff. This is Sarah. I don't know that we have too much. We had some good conversation, I think, about the accreditation program. And I believe, I don't think I said my name. This is Sarah Bakke. Had some good discussion, I think, on the accreditation program or potential accreditation program, both in our meeting, and there was also, a high-level discussion on it as well. And then Krista and I also had some good conversations with a GAC representative. I believe her name was Alice. Her last name is escaping me at the moment, as well as APAC regarding the applicant support program. And so we'll be going over that tomorrow during our working group call. Other than that, I think that's where we stand right now. Krista, do you have anything else to add?
Krista has typed into chat. She doesn't have anything special to add. The call tomorrow will get everyone up to speed in track one, and that there was some great insight from the meetings that you did have. I think on the support and outreach, we did, as Jorge has put into the chat, Aubrey and I were able to update the GAC on the progress we've made in this PDP and basically a plea for getting additional participation from the GAC. Since support, applicant support and outreach was a critical issue for the GAC in the 2012 round, they were happy to give us some input and to, as Sarah mentioned, provide us with Alice from the GAC, who spearheaded the effort in 2012 and has also joined our working group. So hopefully she'll be able to be on the work track one calls to add some valuable insight. And I know also that, or at least I believe that you all had a chance to at least connect by email, if not in person, with others that worked on that in that group in pre-2012. And Krista has put the Alice's last name into the chat.
Who has his hand up?
Sorry, say that again.
But you said you couldn't see names. I thought I'd point out that Cavus has his hand up.
Great. Thank you, Aubrey. So, Cavus.
Yes, I'm sorry to raise this question. A quick secretary would indicate how many GAC members are at this meeting. I see Jorge Cancillo, and I see perhaps someone else. How many GAC people do you have? You remember that I emphasize that without participation, it is impossible to have a common views. So I would like to know how many GAC participants are at this meeting. Thank you.
Thanks, Cavus. I know Tom Dale has sent his apologies, so he would be one of the best people to go through this list to see who's from the GAC on here. Absent that, if one of ICANN staff can kind of go through the list and see if we can get Cavus with an answer during the call today. I see Donna has her hand raised, I believe. So, Donna.
Thanks, Jeff. Donna Austin. Just on the topic of participation from the GAC with this working group, one of the conversations that the council had with the GNSO council had with the board in Hyderabad, and we also had the same conversation with the GAC, is, it may be necessary to have moderated sessions between this PDP working group and also the GAC on some of the specific topics where we know that we may be at different or at odds on a certain topic. I mean, geographic names is the obvious one that comes up in my mind. But I think it would be really helpful for the other two topics that you've just identified, that absent, good representation within the GAC, from the GAC within this working group, I think it would be really helpful if at some point we can think about how we ensure that we have enough GAC engagement on these topics so that we don't end up in a position where this PDP working group comes up with recommendations that are inconsistent with GAC advice on the same topic. So maybe not a discussion for now, but I just wanted to raise it that it's something that we need to think about in terms of perhaps the schedule that we have for this working group, and also upcoming, face-to-face ICANN meetings. As you know, if we identify these topics where we are going to be at odds potentially, how can we coordinate to have a moderated session between the GAC and the PDP working group to try to go through some of the differences of opinion and see if we can come out with if not the same spot, at least have a good understanding of why we have those differences. So I just wanted to flag that. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks, Donna. I think that's a great point, and I think one of the issues you referred to, the geographic ones, the geographic names, we're going to provide an update with Work Track 2, but absolutely right. I think one of the things I would love to do in 2017 is try to do an intersessional, and by intersessional, I don't necessarily mean in person, but some sort of group call with the GAC, or with GAC members to do precisely what you're talking about. But Aubrey and Cavus are in the queue. So, Aubrey?
Actually, Cavus got his hand in there before me.
Oh, okay. So, Cavus?
Yes. In the GAC, I think the people are active in this issue. For geographical names is Olga Tavari. She's active. For the underserved country is Alice Minuya. For the CCI is several people, including Mark Carvel. And Jorge and I are also participating in things, but We are not working specifically. However, I think that when we have a specific topic, we need to have these people who are working outside the this group in the GAC to be present and to request that we present. And we can't push anybody. Invited to be present in order to have the coordination, not to have a parallel activity. So we really need to push for that and request the people working in the GAC on these topics to kindly, in one way or other, participate when these subjects are discussed. It is basically voluntarily, you know, push to anybody. We can't have force anything, but it's an invitation only. I think if you want to have a result, we should participate. This is what I told several times in the GAC, and it is essential. This is fundamental. Thank you. Sorry to ask the floor again for this one topic, but I insist that this is, I emphasize that this is important.
Okay, thanks, Kavos. Aubrey?
Yeah, Aubrey speaking. I actually very much support the idea of doing online intersessionals on these and perhaps to make each of them just a single topic. And perhaps it's something where we can prevail not only on the GAC members, especially, you know, that are participating here, but also our GNSO GAC liaison, who's also our liaison to the CCT group, to help us set those up when it comes time. And as Kavus suggests, make sure that we find a time and method that works for the people from within the GAC and from within this group who are critical to that. We've got this liaison position defined, so maybe that person, Carlos, will be able to help us to actually make sure that that happens and do those things, not just before the next face-to-face meeting, but once we reach sort of draft opinion stages where we kind of know where we think the group is going, we can see the contradictions or the what have you, the differences of opinion, and can actually have an extraordinary session of our group with the relevant GAC members at that time. So I think it's a great idea. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Aubrey. Jorge?
Hello. Did you hear me okay?
Yep. Great.
Hello. This is Jorge Gancio, GAC Group for Switzerland, for the record. I just want to join in on this discussion because I think it's very useful and support what has been said by Donna Austin and also by Kavus. I think that the discussion we had with the coaches in Hyderabad, which was the second edition after the first discussion in Helsinki, proved to be very useful. And I very much agree that if we are able to schedule this in advance, more open even discussion with all working group members on one side and all GAC members on the other side would be very useful, especially if we have, like in Hyderabad, the topic leads from the GAC ready for making inputs on some of the key issues we are discussing in the PDP working group. So with this, I would also like to recall what I said in the chat, and this is that this working group, I don't know with in what manner, but it would be very useful that it would look into the transcript of our discussion in Hyderabad, because all the relevant topic leads from the GAC made specific inputs to the coaches, and I think it gives a good feeling on where the key issues lay nowadays for the GAC, and also gives information on who these topic leads are. So I'll leave it by that for the time being, and thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Jorge. And I think just to kind of bring us back to one of the questions on the chat, all of the names that Kavouos mentioned are the topic leads in the GAC, and we will get the full list. I know Alice is on there, Olga is listed in the notes. I think Mary had listed those, but there's also a few other groups that we will make sure we get the topic leads documented so that we can make sure we do engage with them when we address those specific areas. Okay, on just looking through the chat to see there's lots of agreement. Okay, good. So that on the geographic names, which actually brings us to an update from Work Track 2, I'll actually let I'll do this quick update. So there was a, as everyone knows, there is a cross-community working group on the use of country and territory names, which had a session in Hyderabad. It seems like one of the items that was discussed was whether to just finish their report up, that they came out with an interim report, and then refer the work to our PDP, the rest of the work. If that does happen, some of the co-chairs and the leaders have been discussing that potential. And what we think we would like to do if the issues do get referred to us would be to create a separate either track or separate group to look at the issues, the geographic issues. And because it is such a sensitive area for the GNSO, the CCNSO, and the GAC, is to try to get rapporteurs from or one rapporteur from each of the three different groups to make sure that everyone is comfortable and happy in participating in such a group. So that's just what we're thinking at this point in time, but happy to get some feedback, and I see there are some hands raised. So unfortunately, in Adobe, it doesn't say whose hand was first. It just says it just puts it in alphabetical order.
I have Jorge and then Annabeth. Oh no, now Jorge's gone. I have just Annabeth.
Okay, Annabeth, please. Okay.
Hello everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Good. Thank you very much for that update. I'm one of the co-chairs in that cross-community working group. And as you know, as we talked about in Hyderabad, the reason why we decided to stop the work was that we have quite much trouble to find a common way forward. What our mandate was to try to find a framework that all stakeholder groups could agree on. And after having finished our at least preliminary discussion of two letter strings, that was not that difficult, but entering into the pre-letter codes, we saw that it was so much distance between the different stakeholder groups. We could have gone on and discussed it, but to get some way forward, since you are doing a lot of work in these work tracks, it would be more sensible for all to try to discuss it together. But as you say, it is really important to get in the views from both ALAC, the GAC, and the CCNSO to avoid having the same thing that happened last time, that we have a finished result and then a lot of opposition afterwards. So if we could try to do it better this time, that would have been so good. Thank you.
Thanks, Annabeth. Kavouos?
Yes, I suggest that if possible, either Avery or yourself, having a short message to Thomas Schneider and asking him, these are the topics. Let us say geographical names. Let us talk about the two-letter and three-letter. Talk about the IGO and so on, and the underserved country, and ask him that, who could be the focal point of GAC in this issue that could be encouraged to participate at the meeting? Because in the last meeting of GAC, they had a, let us say, a very hard position of some of the GAC Asian countries or East Asian countries relating to these three letters and so on and so forth. So we need to have them on board and exchange the views, understand each other. And for the IGO also, we had the same thing. We have discussion with the GAC, that GAC wanted that the GNSO totally review the things. The GNSO said that we cannot review unless it is proven that our PDT recommendation is wrong, and we need to have a clue of that, and who will get into the issue. Board was asked to organize the source of the one office between the two. So we need to ask the chairman of the GAC that kindly identify focal points dealing with the topics that you and Avery identified, that the people should be really on board in the discussion, in the chat, and listen and communicate. Otherwise, we would not be very efficient. I'm very, very conscious about this. Thank you.
Thanks, Kavos. And the IGO, INGO issue is also a very complicated one that is the subject of, or has been the subject of an ongoing PDP or several PDPs. So we would have to coordinate with those groups as well, and I know that the ICANN board has discussed the IGO, INGO issue and ways forward on that, so I think we're going to have to coordinate. Jorge, do you want to weigh in as well?
Yes, thank you. Hello, this is Jorge Cancia again for the record. First of all, I wanted to support what Annabeth said from Norway, because it is indeed a very difficult topic, as we all know, especially as what regards country and territory names and their representations, be it with short names, long names, or with three-letter codes. And maybe it could be useful also to dig up what was the position from the CCNSL and also from the GAC when the previous round was being prepared. Because in the end, what are country and territory names, and they are at the, let's say, in a gray area between the CCNSO and the GNSO, if we can say that. As to other geographic names which are not covered by the protections of the African Guidebook, we had discussions in the GAC in Hyderabad, as you most of you will know. And we will try to come up with a draft proposal in Copenhagen. And at the same time, for these geographic names which go beyond country and territory names, we will need sooner or later also a discussion place, which is cross-community and which is friendly and homely for all parts of the community. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Jorge. Okay, just looking through the queue. All right. Annabeth says, I agree with Jorge on the country and territory names. There are quite a lot of views available from the last round that could be useful to reuse. Okay, obviously this is gonna be a subject of discussion in Work Track 2 and beyond. So since there is a Work Track 2 meeting later on, Michael, is there anything you wanna add, or do you just wanna save it for the meeting in a few hours?
Hi, Jeff, thanks. I'm just gonna, Jeff, can you hear me?
Yep. Yes.
Oh, you can. You can. Okay, good. Sorry. So, yes, Michael Fleming for the record. I'm just going to keep it very brief. First of all, I just want to say thank you to everyone that came out and gave very constructive feedback. We were able to, I think, finally get a lot out there and hear from a lot of different people that we haven't heard before. To summarize things very quickly, we asked three main points, three questions in ICANN. One dealt around the single base registry agreement, whether or not it was still suitable for all new GTLDs moving forward, and whether or not ICANN would be able to deal with it, would have the resources to, and would also be able to deal with multiple registry agreements, multiple category-based registry agreements. So I think what we saw from this was that the idea for different registry agreements, well, at least the idea to construct something that would be that would allow for various categories is definitely something that is in that most people are in favor in. How we do it, on the other hand, whether or not that's actually a single-based registry agreement with different specifications, or if that is actually different registry agreements, I believe that we need a bit more opinion, a bit more feedback on. There are still a lot of questions around that. I know we haven't heard from all groups yet either, so this is still a discussion that's being carried on. Sorry, I will speak a little bit slower. I can tell that Emily's having a hard time to notes. Sorry about that. Then we also discussed the COI, the Continuing Operations Instrument. We weren't able to touch on this before the meeting, but what we got from the session in Hyderabad was that the model for the EBRO, EBRO is viewed as something that is still necessary. At this point, we're not able to obviously throw it away or change that model, but the COI model itself is something that is causing a lot of pain for a lot of new GTLD applicants. So I think that we're going to try to explore other options for how to cover the costs that are associated with the EBRO function. And then for the reserve names, we had a lot of discussion, and when it was not able to do everything in the time allotted, but what we discussed in regards to the reserve names was that we need to go back, reorganize ourselves, and look at the policy itself. And that is what we'll actually be doing in the meeting today at 20 UTC. Yes, 20 UTC. My apologies. So I look forward to hearing from everyone, and I hope that we can get as many participants there as we have here. All right, Jeff, thank you very much. That is all for me.
Thanks, Michael, and we'll be hearing more from you and Phil in just a few hours. So thank you very much. Work Track 3, Karen was not able to attend. Robin was there. I don't know if, Robin, you want to provide a little bit of an update. If you're on, I can't tell. I'm sorry. I'm not seeing the full list here. Robin is not on this. So for Work Track 3, we'll give an update next week. Unless, Karen, you have an update that you and Robin had talked about. Okay, not hearing any. We can move on to Work Track 4, Cheryl and Rubens. Do you have any update?
In terms of updates, Rubens and I would obviously, it's Cheryl Langdon off the record, by the way, I slipped up on that. Rubens and I would obviously like to thank everybody for their contribution made in the Hyderabad meeting, particularly on the questions we asked around dotless domains and clashes. Obviously, there is, like most of the groups, more work to be done on that, but we certainly appreciated the additional input that came out of the interactive session, and certainly something that I think all of us would probably agree it was a good thing to do, and we could probably benefit from doing it again later in our processes as well. We're on the cycle. That means we meet in this not coming week, but the week after. And one of the things we're looking at putting in our agenda is, apart from a review, and looking at our timeline for where we are in getting things done. We're certainly not anywhere near where we had planned to be on most of our topics, but some of the low-hanging fruit, for example, is in the universal acceptance work, and we noted that whilst we are not digging deeply into universal acceptance ourselves in isolation, we certainly need to look at and work with the special interest group that's been running on universal acceptance for some time now. They did some, towards the end of project, updating in Hyderabad. Neither Rubens or I had timetables that allowed us to attend those, but we will be looking at the published material from those with the group in our next call and seeing what we may be able to glean out of those documents in advance of putting more drafting pen to paper on some of our key objectives on that. Other than that, not a great deal to say, with the exception of we have an extraordinarily quiet list, and in my very biased view at least, far too few people from our group turning up to our meetings. So if we could encourage more participation, that would be greatly appreciated. Back to you, Jeff.
Okay, thanks, Cheryl. Great. So, and that call, as Cheryl said, well, both 3 and 4 are next week, and the invites were sent out. Actually, the invites have been sent out, I believe, for all of the meetings in the next few weeks. If you have not gotten the invites but were expecting to, if you could let Emily and Steve know if you've haven't gotten those invites. Okay, and then let's jump on to some more of the substance. If we could bring up the CC1 review tool on Adobe. Ah, and of course that's large enough for everyone to read. I'm sure you can if you view it on a tablet, it's much much smaller. So, Aubrey, I know we haven't discussed who is going to handle this. If you're in a position to do it, great. If not, I could do that as well. So, Aubrey, do you want to take this part?
Oh, Jeff, this is Aubrey speaking. You tempt me sorely. But in your absence at our leadership meeting, we actually did decide that it was your turn to chair and thus my turn to do the CC1. So I won't jump at the opportunity to let it land on your lap, and we'll go through with it. But first, I wanted to talk a little bit about the process that we're going through. This is taking us forever to do. And one of the things was there was a hope that we could be done with this by the end of the year. Now that's looking rather difficult. And one of the things we discussed in the leaders' meeting was to, instead of continuing to work on it every other week, to basically try and work on this every week until we finished it. We've only gotten a little bit more than... No, actually, we haven't quite gotten halfway. There's 6 points. We're in the middle of 3. We've got 4, 5, and 6 to do yet. Now, we have tentatively scheduled a meeting for next week. I forget when it is, but I expect that either Steve or Emily can say. I unfortunately have a conflict for that. Sneaky of me to schedule a meeting when I have a conflict. I'll try to make it. But the meeting would only be about the CC1 walkthrough And if Jeff can make that meeting, whether I'm there or not, should not really matter. So we need to, first of all, you know, I wanted to sort of let you all know that that's how we've been looking at it, but figure it really is time to make an end of this first pass through the comments. Imagine if we had gotten comments from everyone. So I don't know if there are any objections or anybody wants to comment on that notion. And Steve or Emily, can you remind us of when that tentative meeting has been scheduled for next week, which would be 1 hour on CC1 only?
Hi, Aubrey.
Okay, so Steve says the next. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to make sure you saw the note. And I was actually going to ask you also, did you want it only for 90 minutes? Or, sorry, 60 minutes or for 90 minutes?
If we're trying to get done, unless there's objections, I would say go for 90. I had said 60 when I was just talking, but if we can pull off the 90 to try and get this work done, that would be good. Because what we really need to do is get through all of these and then get the first approach to a draft on the recommendations based on these overarching issues done. And don't want to let that keep dragging on. And also, I think that some of the subgroups probably need these issues to be on their way to resolution. So I don't see anybody raising their hands to object to that idea. I think the invite did go out, but I called it tentative. I see Karen's message. I called it tentative because, I really wanted to present the idea before we got into it. But if there's no discussion on that, then we will proceed on the basis that we will do a CC1 meeting on the alternate weeks from the full meeting until we finish it. Okay, and I know a lot of people next week will probably be at the IGF meeting, so perhaps that meeting will be a little bit more sparse. I don't know. Okay, so seeing no comments on that, Caboose asks, do we really need 90 minutes? Well, we're not even halfway through this, and we've been talking about it for months. So perhaps. But perhaps we'll finish them all today, and we won't need any extra meetings. Not very likely. But anyway, to move on. So 3B. So on 3B, which was how would the assessment of applications in a method other than in rounds impact rights holders, if at all. Now, we did even have some discussion of this in discussing the previous item, and in fact, was one of the drivers between the hybrid discussion we've been having that my belief has been sort of, while I would going too far to say accepted, it's being mulled over favorably. So from GAC, we had no comments. From the registry we believe that a continuous process would have a slight positive impact on brands. Even a rolling process, a defined period would be applied to each application during which right holders could object to a string if they believed infringed on their legal rights. For example, via the legal rights objection. Brand projection costs associated with participation in applicable sunrise periods would be steadier and more predictable, where the number of new GTLDs grew steadily with demand rather than mushrooming suddenly due to a short application window. And from the IPC we got, if the applications in an ongoing application mechanism, such as the rolling open process referred to above, were published for opposition, brand owners whose business owners do not require a GTLD registry would have the ability to oppose the application without having to spend the money to block an abusive application and or compete against that application in an auction process. In this regard, the ability to oppose an application should be clarified and potentially expanded. As mentioned in 3I above, the ongoing application mechanism would allow for greater certainty in clearing new brands. Now, first I'd like to invite anyone from the Registry Stakeholder Group or the IPC who would like to add some clarifications or explanations to their comment? Do I see anyone? I don't. Okay, then. I'll open up the floor in general. Anyone have any comments to add to this? Yes, Alan, please go ahead.
Thank you. I'll make a comment I've made before that, or perhaps not exactly the same form. When I hear arguments like this saying that one form of releasing GTLDs might be advantageous to certain types of GTLDs, I'm prompted to say we don't necessarily have to have a one-size-fits-all. That if indeed the rolling rounds would be particularly applicable to brands, but not necessarily to others for a number of reasons, then that's something we can end up recommending. We do not necessarily, once we've accepted, and I don't think we can back out from it right now, that there are certain categories, because even in the first round, we ended up with categories, the rules don't have to be consistent across them all. They have to fit together, but they don't have to be the same. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? There are no other comments. I can move on to 3C. Okay, moving on to 3C. Does restricting applications to rounds or other cyclical application models lead to more consistent treatment of applicants? We have comments from the GAC, not necessarily. An ongoing process of accepting applications within an agreed framework could presumably treat applicants equally consistently. From the registry we had, we do not believe that there is a relationship between the type of process, continuous versus discrete, and consistent treatment. Having standard rules that are applied across the board by evaluators will lead to consistent treatment. One requirement transitioning to a continuous process will be ensuring that panels and other bodies engaged in evaluation, objection, and other procedures can execute against objective policies and procedures over time. And from the IPC, we have, as mentioned above, rounds, as we currently understand and experience them, have the potential to create false demand since they encourage the filing of applications by brands purely for defensive purposes. Rounds may also encourage other applicants to rush to apply due to a lack of certainty over when or if a future opportunity will arise. On the other hand, rounds, for better or worse, do create contention sets, which can lead to more consistent treatment of applicants. It may be worth considering open filings for rounds rather than the black box plus reveal approach taken in a current round. I'd like to invite GAC, Registry, or IPC to comment, and I'd especially like to invite IPC to sort of talk more about what they mean in the open filings or rounds concept, since I'm not quite sure that that's clear to me or to others. And thank you, Greg. Please go ahead.
Thanks. This is Greg Shatton from IPC, and there are some other IPC members on. So if I either get it wrong or they want to amplify or clarify, invite them to do so as well. Basically, by open filings, it simply mean that the application should be public record when filed, as opposed to a system we had where filings were made, but it was not known who filed for what until reveal day, when at that point, after the polls had closed or after the application window had closed, it was then revealed who filed for what. So the suggestion is to have a process where the applications are visible from day one. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else wish to comment at this point on that? So in reading this, it seems to me that people really don't see a large difference between equal treatment as long as we can achieve that consistent performance of the evaluators over time, and that in itself may be a challenge that needs to be talked about when we're talking about implementation and such. But also the one comment that if there is any problem that could arise that perhaps could be mitigated by a open form of rounding of application. So that basically, I guess what would happen is somebody would see an application and go, oh no, I better apply too in that case. Is that a correct assumption? I see no one disagreeing with that assumption. So we can leave that there as that. Does anybody else wish to comment on the three C's? Am I still here? I just heard a beep beep.
You're still here.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay. So anything else on three C's? Okay. If there's nothing else, then we can move on to 3D. Should rounds or other cyclical application models be used to facilitate reviews and process improvement? GAC had no comment on this one. The registry stakeholder group, no. If things are not working, it is possible to fix them during a continuous process through the GNSO policy development process, while allowing other applications proceed without delay. And from the IPC, reviews and process improvements should not be used as a justification for preferring rounds or other cyclical application models. Reviews and process improvements can also take place in an ongoing application process. Seems to be very little disagreement on that one. Does anyone that put in a comment wish to amplify or expand? No. Are there any other comments on this? Or do we accept the notion that rounds are, or other cyclical applications are not useful for facilitating improvement, and that just like we have ongoing rounds, we could have ongoing improvements using the established policy development processes? I see no comments. I see no hands on that. Okay. Folks allowing. Okay, I do see a hand. Yes, Greg.
Hi, Greg Chatton, and this is a random comment that I make in my personal capacity, but one thought I had in regards to kind of bridging the gap between rounds and a continuous process might be to have some sort of sunrise period or holding period or something to create contention sets rather than to rely on first come, first serve. I realize that has huge potential negative consequences as well as possible positive ones, but you know, the first come, first serve for a GTLD as opposed to for a second level domain is creates an issue as well, which the rounds tended to solve in their own way to some extent. So that's just to float it out there that a continuous process doesn't have to be just a first come first serve process. Thanks.
Thank you. So that probably should be noted as a possible variation in the continuous process, is that there would be an application and then a pause. Let's not give it a name at the moment, but a pause for challenges or comments or other applications, if I understood correctly, before it actually proceeded. Though one would hope with thousands of names at some point, first come, first serve could actually work. But thank you for the recommendation. I have Caboose and then Jeff.
Yes. So the second part of intervention of Greg, that the continuous application does not necessarily mean first-come serve, I have no problem with that. But coming to the main topic, first-come first-serve, I don't know how you, some of you, or most of you, have experience on the approach of first-come first-serve. I have many, many, many years of experience, and it has a lot of deficiencies. So I don't think that we have completed the debate and discussions whether or not we agree on the first-come first-serve. There are many disadvantages, why there might be some advantage, but we have not come to a conclusion whether the advantage and disadvantage, they balance, and then we decide on which one. There might be disadvantages much more than advantages. So just this is a concern that I expressed with respect to the first-come first-serve, that I have at least experiences many, many years in other areas than I can. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Caboose. And indeed, we have not come to a conclusion on any of this, but it's good to bring out the problems. And as Greg has brought up, there may actually be mitigations to those problems, even in a first-come, first-serve. But yes, thank you for bringing up that there may be other issues. Jeff.
Yeah, thanks. I thought this would be a good time. I was going to wait until the miscellaneous part of this question three. But since Greg kind of brought it up, Greg's position is a little bit similar to what the paper that was done called, sorry, I'm just getting the name here, that the Council of Europe report on applications to ICANN for community-based new generic top-level domains. So what's advocated in that paper... Oh, am I still on?
Still on.
Oh, okay. I hear a busy signal, so...
I hear it too.
Ah, there we go.
Okay.
So in that paper, and again, I'm not offering my judgment as to whether I agree or don't agree, but I think this group should discuss. So that paper basically puts forward a position that in addition to saying community applications should go first, which is a whole separate issue, it does say that applications should be in staggered batches where essentially it would be kind of a expressions of interest to allow potential applicants to submit an interest or expression of interest in their choice of names, and then there'd be some period of time where others could object or also submit applications for those names, and then it goes through a process of how to decide between if there's contention. Again, I don't, I'm not saying I agree with that view, but I think this is a good point. We need to bring this into the discussion since it was formally, or it was since it was at least informally submitted to us. We need to discuss that approach as well in this section. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. So that basically brings us to a place where on a first come, first serve, we could either have a method of mitigation that was prior to the application, or as Greg suggests, after the application. So in terms of looking at first come, first serve, if that's where we land instead of the hybrid, we can basically look at two possible mitigation strategies. Caboose, please.
Yes, sir. Just as you or the Steve, can you at least briefly, did we conclude that to have continuous applications? Because it's still something that, again, that are pros and cons on that. Continuous application might have one advantage that people don't rush, because they know that any time that they want, they could come in, so they don't do anything which is not well prepared and create problems for each other. And on the other hand, it might have some disadvantage. Just quickly, whether this issue is still open. Thank you.
Oh, yes. Caboose, as please forgive me, I tried to indicate before that nothing had been decided. What we're doing now is looking at specific issues that if we were to decide on a first-come, first-serve, what would the issues be? We have made no decisions on just rounds, on the hybrid approach of the cycles of rounds and process, which was the approach that we were talking about earlier in the CC1 discussion. And now we have specific questions that we're looking at in terms of if the group were to decide on first come, first serve, what would the issues be? So certainly nothing has been decided on this first reading of comments. What I'm hoping we can do is that after we have finished these, then we'll be able to sort of pull out from the discussion a set of initial thoughts and recommendations that we may later decide on. But nothing has been decided at this point other than to keep talking through these comments. Caboose, I see your hand.
Do you want any comments on the first come, first serve, or is it too early?
Oh, no. We are talking about first come, first serve in relation to these questions. So
yes.
Certainly it's not too early. We were talking about at the moment we're on the issue of do rounds or other things facilitate process improvement, and therefore we also looked at the first come, first serve that.
If you allow me, I can just
wish to give a couple.
One,
please.
If you allow me, I can give you my thought about the first come, first serve.
Please do.
Yeah. The one of the issue of first come, first serve, as I said, I have this some experiences that unless you have a particular management rules, how to avoid something which I call them warehousing or frequent multiple applications to put the others behind you, it would be very disadvantageous. Unless you have some rules, unless you have some principles that is not abused, if it is often continuously allowing the people to come in at the time that they want without rushing to put something incomplete, that would not give rise to any abuse such as warehousing or or multiple applications and so on and so forth. That is because we need some sort of rules to manage that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Any other comments? On, let's see, we were at, okay, we just did 3D. Any further comments on 3D? If not, I'll move on to 3E. I do note that we have about 25 minutes left to this call. 3E. Do rounds lead to greater predictability for applicants and other interested parties? GAC, no comments at this stage. Registry Stakeholder Group. We believe that rounds have a serious negative impact on business predictability for applicants. In particular, because a round-based model requires a fairly elaborate process to resolve contention. Both the timing and probability of a given application is unknown at the time of submission. Similarly, when more than one applicant applies for a particular string, other interested parties may be uncertain of how to respond without knowing which applicant will prevail and may end up wasting resources objecting to or tracking an application that was unlikely to prevail in the contention process. In contrast, a continuous process allows businesses to make business-driven decisions about whether it makes sense to apply for GTLD without the pressure to apply preemptively for fear of being locked out of the market. Consequently, It allows producers to develop their applications more organically and robustly prior to submission, as applicants can be linked to, I lose the last three words. Yeah, I both on the copy I'm looking at and on the one on screen. Oh, can be linked to develop business plans. Okay, forgive me for my problem. And then from the IPC, not necessarily. They are likely to lead to less predictability in many respects, as discussed above, as compared to an ongoing application mechanism, such as the rolling open process proposed above. Okay. So I'd like to offer the registry or IPC the opportunity to amplify or clarify on their comments if they wish. If not, I'll open the floor to others. I think we have a position here that is sort of saying that no, grounds do not make things more predictable. In one case, a very strong no, and in another case, more of a possibly no. But still, basically, a viewpoint that grounds do not improve predictability or do not improve it necessarily. Anyone else wish to comment to the opposite of that? If not, okay. I see no hand. So I'll move on to 3F. 3F. Do rounds add latency to the evaluation and approval of an application, leading to longer times to market? GAC had no comments on this one. Registry stakeholder group had yes. Moving to a continuous process would dramatically lessen the vast time and resources spent with contention during the 2012 round. More than 4 years from the closure of 2012 round, several strings remain in contention. And there remaining contention and their timeline for launch is unclear. And from the IPC, we do not have sufficient data to determine this, since there has never been an ongoing application mechanism against which to compare it. However, pooling applications into arbitrary groups would appear, at least facially, to lead to bottlenecks and resultant delays. Would any of the either registry or IPC like to comment further on their comments? Would anyone else like to comment? We have a yes definite, and it hasn't been shown. But again, it seems like it is saying it may be possible that yes, it would lead to bottlenecks. Any other comments? Okay, all right. So we are not getting those any contention on those discussions. Okay, and that would take us to no hands. 3G. The rounds create artificial demand and or artificial scarcity. Jack, no comments at this stage. Registry stakeholder group. Yes, having a window leads a scramble to apply for any and all potentially lucrative strings or to secure your brand name for fear of being indefinitely locked out of the market. A continuous application procedure is fairer because it allows businesses to make the determination of whether to apply once they have flushed out their use case and business plan. Funny, I'm looking at this in two different places. And I don't have a full view of it. Flesh out the use cases and business plans for the TLB. And from the IPC, it's yes, please see above. So there seems to be no disagreement in those that commented that indeed rounds do lead to pent-up demand. Would any of the commenters like to further amplify? Would anyone like to offer a differing point of view on this or a reinforcement of the point of view given? I see no hands. Okay, so moving to 3H. Does time between rounds lead to pent-up demand? Jack, no comments at this stage. Registry stakeholder group, yes, the unexpectedly high demand seen in 2012 round evidences the pent-up demand generated by opening up otherwise closed processes for short, discrete periods. And from the IPC, we do not have sufficient data to determine this since there's never been an ongoing application mechanism. I already read that one. Oh, okay, that's the same answer as was given to 3F. Against which to compare it. However, it is conceivable that artificially inhibiting applications through rounds could lead to pent-up demand, as suggested in 3C above. Okay, would anyone like to amplify comment? Anyone wish to take exception to the comment? Anyone wish to amplify on the comment? So we do seem to have a general impression going here that rounds either do increase, for various reasons, do increase pent-up demand or might increase pent-up demand. Okay, going to 3J, what is an ideal interval between rounds? And from Jack, we have no comments at this stage. From our registries, we reiterate that the strategic goal for future applications should be the implementation of a continuous process on a first-come, first-served basis. However, the registry stakeholder group appreciates that there may be one or two further application rounds imposed before this goal can be realistically achieved. In this respect, the registry stakeholder group recommends that a clear commitment begin to a schedule of further application rounds with shorter time spans between each round in line with the original target of 1 year. And that was the application guidebook section 116. And IPC refers to their answer to 3A above, which we covered at a previous meeting. But just as a reminder, A above, which was a rather long discussion from the IPC that I will not reread now, but I accept that IPC did give a very complete discussion there and such, and so I recommend that people go back to it, but we did discuss that, and it kind of leads to this hybrid approach that we've taken. Yes, Caboose, I see your hand, please.
For the reply from the registry that they said that they need to have a clear commitment to do so and so forth, I'm not quite sure whether I understood this commitment, the intention of this commitment. Commitment is given to whom, and how do we follow that commitment? And if commitment is not met, it's not committed, what happened?
Well, I've started the session. Am I interrupting anybody that's speaking?
Did you get my question or not?
I didn't. I unfortunately fell out just as you were starting to speak.
because I didn't understand quite well how this commitment works. To give a clear commitment, how it works, and if it is not ensured, is not met, what happens?
I am not clear on which commitment you mean.
In the reply, it is mentioned there may be. Okay, the third line is mentioned that in this respect, the RESC recommends that a clear commitment is given. That was my question.
Well,
how this commitment is worked.
Indeed, a clear commitment. Right. Indeed, a clear commitment was seen by many as having been given in the AGB, though it was also negated by the fact that there had to be reviews before another round could proceed. So really there were contradictory commitments. I think that whether the periodicity was 1 year or 3 months has been suggested in the hybrid model, or I guess 6 months as has been suggested in the hybrid model, there would not be a prior commitment to review before initiating. It would be something that was just put on a timer. Now, how indeed that would be implemented so that it would indeed happen would indeed be, you know, involve a set of questions. But I think that if we come out this time with a recommendation of a clear commitment to a period, be it 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, then that could be built into the system. This time, as I said, while there was a commitment for 1 year, there was also a commitment to do reviews before initiating a next round. And so those countervailing commitments have sort of gotten in the way, I believe, and that was a personal opinion. Okay. So, 3J, okay, yes, Alan, please.
Thank you. I'll point out it's not just the commitments that conflicted with each other. It was also the overall perception of what the reality would be. Nobody, I don't think, imagined that 4+ years after the release, we would still have TLDs which were not where the process was not completed. I don't think anyone envisioned, anyone in a position of authority envisioned a laundry list as long as we have of potentially issues that have to be resolved or changed. So the whole worldview of this was very different when we went through the process and made those commitments. And I think we have to factor that in. And moreover, if we made that many, and I'll put it in quotes, mistakes or things that have to be questioned now, are we going to fix things perfectly this time, or are we going to be in a similar world again next time around? So I think it's not only whether rounds are good or not, or continuous release is good or not, it's what can we realistically do that will not get us into a huge amount of trouble. So I think it's a multifaceted question, and it's not just as simple as looking at the words last time. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments on really? Okay, so that seems to be one where there still is some amount of discussion to be had in terms of the guarantees on meeting a specific period. Now, one of the answers we did get earlier about using the PDP process in parallel to fix things as opposed to halting the process to fix things may be partially a mitigation, but indeed, you know, if there are over 1,000 applications in a round and there are as many issues as we had this time, it is difficult to predict reliable rounds. Any other comments at this point? Hey, Caboose, yes, please.
Yes, again, on the commitment, I have no problem if we could have a commitment, but it should be something which could be implementable. Because sometimes we have commitment, but we want to implement that, we face another difficulty. Thank you.
Excuse me. I need to both go mute and cough at the same time and talk, so it's very difficult. So yes, that's a very good point, is anything we try to do here ought to be implementable, and certainly a commitment on the period should be implementable. Now, we've got one left here, which is 3J, which is any other issues related to this overarching subject. We have 9 minutes left on this call. Before moving on to that, I wanted to go back to Jeff and make sure that there were no any other business items that he wanted to cover in what is now the last 8 minutes of this call.
This is Jeff. No other items that I have seen, and I have not seen anything on the chat that would indicate any other business.
Okay. Kavos, yes, please. I see
yes. On any other business, the next meeting, I suggest that we reduce this starting time on all of these interests of expression of interest and a short report of the tracks, and go directly to this and finish this business if possible. Just a little bit of management issues. That's all.
Thank you, Kavus. That was exactly the intention when I said that these extra meetings would be CC1 only. I mean, we'll have to do the standard, you know, statement of interest stuff, because that's part of the ICANN rule, but that takes less than a minute. But we won't do the whole status of all the working, you know, subgroups, et cetera. We would just go directly into this item. So the starting stuff of, we have an agenda, one item, any statement of interest updates, okay, let's start. Yes, I agree with you, and that is the intent. Okay, with 7 minutes left, what I'm going to do, actually, I don't know. I'll read through the comments, but one of the issues here may be a call for a larger discussion. So under 3J, we had see also discussion of rounds and ALAC comments on the preliminary issues report on new GTLD subsequent rounds. Now, perhaps all of those comments have already been covered, but I will want to give ALAC a chance to reiterate them if they haven't been covered. In terms of 3J other issues, from GAC, we had no comments at this stage. From Registry, we had no comments at the no. And from IPC, in order for an ongoing application mechanism to function appropriately and predictably, reasonable and appropriate timeframes for each of the public comments, objections, evaluation, contention resolution, etc., would need to be determined and then strictly adhered to in advance of the opening of the application mechanism, with little to no exceptions being made. I think this very much fits into the comments that Kavus has been making about what is implementable in terms of predictability, and I think it reflects a sort of thread that has gone through this discussion. So anyone wish to, whether it's ALAC wanting to comment further on any of the comments from their preliminary comments that have not yet been covered, or whether IPC or others want to make a further comment on what they submitted? Okay, I see no hands. So I am not having reread the ALAC comments recently, but I'll take the lack of hands and saying, yes, those comments have been covered. Of course, we'll have to do a double check later to make sure all comments have been covered. But that and that. With this, I can call the reading of comments in 3 completed. I see no hand. Certainly with 5 minutes left, I do not want to start subject 4, but just to so people will remember subject 4 for next week. Its predictability should be maintained or enhanced without sacrificing flexibility. In the event changes must be introduced into the new GTLD application process, the disruptive effect to all parties should be minimized. And that, of course, will come into a certain amount of conflict, perhaps, with some of the issues we've said about predictability in this one. So that'll be the discussion for the next meeting. I will try to make that meeting. I will be at IGF. I'm not sure if I need to be on stage on some other session at that time. But in any case, Jeff, if you are willing to take this one, even if I miss it, that meeting will go on. So I pass the floor back to you, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you, Aubrey. And we will make sure that the meeting gets covered next week. And if you have not gotten an invite, please let Steve or Emily know so that they could send that to you. Great. Are there any other comments or questions? All right.
Yes? Once again, 5th of December, the subject is CC1.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
December. The subject, what subject we discuss?
Yes, it'll be with the goal of
starting on 4.
Correct. This is Jeff. It'll be the goal of completing CC1 if possible.
Okay, CC1. Okay, thank you. Thanks.
Okay, great.
Have a good time. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, thank you, everyone, and we can stop the recording.
Thank you all.